call upon the flame to summon you. I call on all the dark creatures of nature to summon you here to me. Rise. Hear me as I call to you. Rise from the curling flames. I summon you in the name of the seven plagues, in the name of the charred and blackened stars that reigned at my beginnings, to rise out of the darkness of the earth. I call you forth from the mouth of the dragon and of the beast and of the false prophet. I call you forth from the subterranean rivers of blood, from the smoke of torment which rises forever and ever. In the name of every evil spirit, evil and obedient only to you, I evoke you. Come here to me.
Prepare for wizardly combat.
I want to show you a trick Mother showed me when you weren't around.
And I'll not last a fast step up the field in
vain. Welcome to Spellburn, a podcast covering the Dungeon Crawl Classics role-playing game and old-school adventuring. It's time to party like it's 1974.
This week on Spellburn, we're celebrating the resurrection of Damn, the DCC RPG adventure magazine and news zine. We've brought special guest Paul Wolf on to talk about spearheading this revival, as well as his prolific third-party projects. We're also really excited for GaryCon, which is just around the corner, so stay tuned for details on where you can find each of us. And if that's not hardcore enough for you, we're also welcoming a new permanent co-host to the show, Brooklyn's own Appendix N and DCC acolyte, Judge Jeff Goad.
Hey, everybody.
So, with me tonight, I'm Judge Jen. We have Judge Julian.
Hello, folks.
And, of course, Judge Jeff.
Hi again. Hello.
And we'd like to welcome Paul to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
And we should give Paul. You a proverbial t-shirt or something for a most elusive third-party author. You
know? I'm not elusive. I'm everywhere.
Okay. And alas, poor Judge Job.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to apologize to our listeners because some of that material in the last, at the end of that last show may have been too intense. it was really unfortunate, and just be glad you didn't have to live through it. Jared is scarred, and don't know when we're gonna see him again.
That's why he's not back. God, I leave you guys alone for one show. Come on.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. So
it sounded terrifying.
It was pretty scary. I will say, I've never seen a grown man make those types of noises before. Or heard, I should say. Heard.
I feel like we should pour one out for him.
This one goes out to you, Job.
So on that lovely, happy topic, well, you know what? Let's take it over to Tavern Talk.
And the first rule of bartending is this. GBTB. Go beyond the book. Go beyond the book.
What do you have?
Heineken! F*** that.
Tavern Talk.
So, with the wake of Judge Job, we should probably honor him by talking about what we've done in gaming this past week. And, you know, what's planned on the horizon. And what do we have going on for GaryCon? Hey, Paul, you're the guest of honor. We should have you start us off.
Perfect. A lot of my gaming hasn't been DCC lately. Is that okay to talk about on Spellburn?
It is now.
Perfect. So I don't know if you guys know Jason Schultes. So he's connected to DCC because his new Operation Unfathomable is going to DCC.
Oh, yeah. So
I play in a game with him. He runs that game. It's a Swords and Wizardry crazy science fantasy game that I've been playing probably for 3 years now. So every other Sunday I play in that game. And this week we actually, I don't know if I should say this online, but we killed Trump. and then I also run a game, a live game of, I'm playtesting a game called Frontier Space. I don't know if you've heard of that, but Bill Logan put that out. I'm playtesting that, and it's in the Firefly universe. So,
actually, I think you're the person who got me to go ahead and back the Operation Unfathomable.
Perfect.
Yep, yeah. Very cool. And will you be at GaryCon?
I will be at GaryCon, and I'll be running Crawling Under a Broken Moon with Reed Sanfilippo. We're doing a tournament. And then I'm running an off-book thing with Eric Hoffman and Jason Hobbs, a Black Powder Black Magic tournament.
So very cool.
Those are two DCC-related things.
Yay! All right, how about you, Judge Jeff?
Hey, yeah. Actually, for those of you who don't know, I run the DCC NYC Meetup Group, and we play games at the Brooklyn Strategist every other Sunday. And just this last Sunday, we played Claytonian's Wizardarium of Calabraxis, and it was a blast. It was such a gonzo wild ride. We had bats swooping out of the sky and stealing players, characters' heads, totally just zany stuff. It was a lot of fun. And I will also be at GaryCon. It's going to be my first GaryCon, which I'm super excited about.
Wow.
And I'll be running Wizardarium of Calabraxis there as well, which should be fun. And I'm also running Diogo Nogueira's new system, Sharp Swords and Sinister Spells.
Oh, Diogo!
Very cool. And I'll be running Beneath the Comet, the Astonishing Swordsman and Sorcerers of Hyperborea module. I'll be running that for Sharp Swords and Sinister Spells.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Should be fun. I'm very excited.
Look at you. Your first time out and you're already nailing all that. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll be getting to play with Frank Menzner and Bob Brinkman. Very excited. Ooh, and Daniel J. Bishop.
Yeah?
Nice. Yeah, very excited.
Ooh, yes, very nice.
Okay, Julian.
Well, I just want to say that now that Jason Hobbs has a podcast, I think we have to rumble. I think we have to have a podcast rumble. I tried not to bring it up, but okay.
We're 5 minutes in. You failed.
I know. I've been chomping at the bit.
Just so you know, he was talking trash about you too. So I think you guys should meet at GaryCon, and there should be a rumble.
Oh. It's going to be a dance off.
Oh, God.
Oh no!
I'm out.
You don't want that.
I witnessed enough of that last year. I'm still a little scarred.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, GaryCon is going to be epic, obviously. And I am just thrilled to be going. Obviously, you know, it's a huge meeting of the minds. I'm really hoping. I didn't get into any of Bishop's games, but I would love to meet him. So, Paul, you're going to have to introduce me.
This will actually be the first time I've ever met him in person as well.
Oh, that's very cool. And then I think I'm in some Judge Jen lady is running a Lankmar game, if I recall correctly.
At least one. Yeah.
And then I'm going to be, I believe I've got a ticket. Now, I didn't actually register for my own GaryCon stuff, but I believe I'm in a Taco John Hirschberger Caverns of Thracia game.
Oh,
nice.
I love. I mean, as much as I love DCC, I still love the old AD&D stuff a lot. So I'm very stoked about that.
Yeah, that'll and be then, a treat.
Yeah, and the Janelle JK stuff for Judges Guild is especially amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I am running one of those, the Tomb of Aethering the Damned at Gary, as well as Teagle Manor, sort of my favorite completely funhouse dungeon type thing. And then I'm running Warlords of Atoz. I'm doing my Warlords of Atoz world tour.
Oh, jeez.
For Mutant Crawl Classics by Judge Jim. And then I'm doing the Nowhere City, my first convention debut run of the Nowhere City funnel that I've put together. So that's that should be pretty fun. We did it here a few about a month or two ago, and it was a good time. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. And then yeah, we're gonna mess with Hobbs.
Oh, jeez.
So yeah, it's going to be great. And then
yep. And hey, Harley's going to be there this year for the first time.
Oh yeah.
Since we started going 3 years ago, he wasn't there then.
That's going to be awesome.
Wow, that's amazing. And actually, I'm in one of his games as well. I really lucked out with the registry this year.
Are you in the Warlords of the Purple Planet?
Like no, I'm in the Heist.
Yeah, that one. It's actually done on the Warlords system, which I'm really curious to see how that goes. Yeah, I think we're like in the game together with some other shenanigators like Jim Scatch and
nice.
I think Stephen Newton.
No,
I'm excited Stephen Newton's going to be there too. I've been editing for him for over 2 years or so, and yeah, that'll be fun. So on the home front, we've still got the First Ed game, and of all things, one of my DCC players started running a weekly Star Wars game, and it's his first time as a GM, so he's finally, it's been a few months, and he's starting to hit his stride, and kind of, he glows when he runs. It's fun. For GaryCon, I'm running one MCC game. It's a playtest for Harley. And then I'm running Dieter Zimmerman's Not in Kansas Anymore funnel. Just so much fun.
Yeah.
And I've got a pair of Mike Curtis's DCC Lankmar games on the books, and I'll be doing one off book, which, you know, unfortunately, that is beyond full already. But for that one, yeah, I'm just going to basically demonstrate the power of the system and its options. And pretty much, Jeff, like you said with Frank, here's a couple seeds. We're going.
That's great. That's really cool.
It'll be fun to stretch that way, too, because usually I have to be a by-the-books kind of person, so that'll be nice and new. So, okay, GaryCon, we have pummeled this thing. We will be there, and we are running things, and we're looking so forward to it. So I don't know if we can hit that one much more.
Can I add one thing?
Maybe.
Please?
Please?
What's up? What's up?
I went to Con of the North in the Twin Cities for the second time, but the first time I ran events there in February.
Oh, very
cool.
Since
our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a blast. I had a great time. I ran 5 events in 3 days, so it was a little nutty. But
okay, come on. It's still not Brendan LaSalle rank, though.
No, I think I learned my lesson, too, but but I will say I could talk, so that was good. But we want to make that a DCC hub. So myself and Judge John Dahlstrom, who's sort of my DCC co-conspirator, my dungeon co-conspirator, you could say.
Cute.
We're already scheming to make this a. To have a bigger DCC presence. I mean, just drawing on all the local people here, which there are plenty.
Mm-hmm.
So So if you're listening and you're in the Twin Cities, next year we want to have a little room and have some stuff and do some DCC-centric stuff. So look for that. Contact me if you'd like to run something, et cetera.
Yeah, and actually, on that note, as we're recording, Gamma is currently going on. I'm going to blank on the acronym right now, but it's the Industry Gaming Convention. So a lot of our friendly local gaming store people are going out there, as well as our friend the Dark Master is returning over there. And I just heard that the raffle was won by our game store owner. So
nice.
A lot of the material that's at that booth is coming home to Florida to be sold. And
what's the name of that module that they're only going to be releasing there and then in the stores? What's the name of that thing again?
Oh, that's a darn fine question, and I will have an answer for you in a sec.
Yeah, I'm forgetting the name of it, but I will say that I'm very excited that after my last game where I was running Wizardarium of the Calabraxis at the Brooklyn Strategist, the staff at the Brooklyn Strategist were so tickled by my dead stamp when I was stamping the characters and just the game in general that two of the people who work there are ordering the DCC books, and they told me they would order this this module for the store when it did come out so they could get a copy. So I'm super excited about that.
Awesome. Nice. Apparently it's one of those things where your store owners have to order it along with other materials, which isn't hard to do. It is Dread on Demon Crown Hill by Michael Curtis.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
So I'm very excited that we'll be able to get our paws on that in a week or so. we're crossing streams, though. We're leaving for Gary Con just as they're getting back from Gamma, so curses, we have to wait. But we shall do so. All right, what say we summon some emails?
You've got mail.
Message for you, sir.
Summon email.
All right. Hey, Judge Julian, maybe you can kick us off.
Will do. This one is from Frugal GM. Right off, great podcast, judges. I'm not really a DCC player. Insert brackets. Shame on you. Played in only 3.5 games at cons, 2 at Origins, and the rest at last year's North Texas RPG. More about that later. I don't own the game and haven't put too much thought into finding a local game, although maybe I should. Is only relevant because that even with my limited knowledge and experience with DCC, I still find the Spellburn podcast quite enjoyable and on my short list of podcasts I subscribe to. Yay! While I definitely am not familiar with a good deal of the DCC mechanics, I haven't really had any problems following along, and I don't think you've dumbed things down for any non-players like me. It seems like you might be running a bit low on emails to answer on the show, so I should try to ask a question or two suitable for your collective experiences. How much time, compared to the expected length of a DCC gaming session, would you say is required for judges to adequately prepare for the session, given that the judge has already read the adventure a time or two beforehand? I guess that's the first question, and then second question is, how steep is the learning curve for a player to slide over at the table and become a judge? Keep up the great work, Mr. Christopher Stodgdill. Stodgel. Sorry, Christopher, I probably butchered that, but we appreciate the email. Thank you. Two good questions.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't mind, I can go ahead and
take it away.
Share my thoughts on
that.
Great. Yeah, so the first time that I ran a DCC game, I had never even been a player. This was back in, I think, 2012, I think. And I had a regular third edition and first edition game that I was playing in, and a friend of mine introduced me to the system. I got the book. I instantly fell in love. And then he basically signed me up to run Sailors of the Starless Sea a few weeks later for this group of like 20 people. I think it was literally like 15 people at the table. It was insane. But I can say that it was a ton of fun. And it, I mean, I was stressed out because I had never done it before, but without even having played, it went really well and it was a ton of fun. So I don't think the learning curve is actually that high as long as you have the willingness to just kind of leap in and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Paul, I'd be really curious as to your take on this.
My take on, sorry, what was it?
You're fired.
I am totally fired.
So how steep is the learning curve to go from player to judge? And how long would you say a judge should prepare for a session?
The learning curve, I don't think it's steep. I guess it would mean so you've played the game, but you've never run it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not steep at all. I mean, I think it's easy, really. And what I base it on is my children. So my kids grew up with gaming, mostly in the 3.5 system, but we played DCC as soon as we got it, as soon as we got the beta version. And they were running their own games within, you know, a month, really.
Oh, wow.
I think the main thing is that there's a lot more improvisation in the game than there is with maybe other games that are based on D20. That's kind of my take.
That's fair. I would probably chime in and agree with that overall assessment. I think I played for 20 minutes before I was ready to run the game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But as for preparation, it totally depends on the judge. I'm a planner. It's what I do. And it's really stupid to expect my players to play along with what I'm planning. I always end up with that left turn at Albuquerque. And all of my prep is just kind of, okay, why bother?
Yeah, absolutely. I try not to overprep for that exact reason because I have a history of preparing way more than I'm going to need and then having the players not go in that direction at all. I completely plan an island and they don't even get on the boat.
I have learned. Yes.
Absolutely. So because of that now, I try to really just kind of have, if I'm running a road crew game, I know the module inside and out, and I usually transfer it over to note cards, and that takes a couple of hours before the game, and that's really all I do. And for my campaign stuff, I just kind of have a rough sketch of what's out there in the world, and I've got some stuff that I'm lifting from various modules. Like, actually, Paul, in my current campaign game, Ira the Mountain God is one of my players' deities. So nice. I've stolen that directly from you, from... I'm going to totally butcher the pronunciation. Is it Sepulchre? Sepulchre?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I try not to overprepare myself.
Yeah, as far as preparation goes, I mean, I can usually do monsters kind of on the fly. And I try to do things that are emergent, so I'll have some tables, but that's basically it. But if I'm running something that's published, I'll read it, but other than that, I'll just have it at the table and kind of let things go the way they go.
I would say I'm on the planner side, probably. I mean, I tend to do a fair amount of writing before I'll run even my own, you know, typical session. Jen, when Judge Jen said, it really depends on the... And I thought she was going to say the adventure, and she said the judge. But I would say the adventure, because some things are kind of straightforward, like, say, I don't know, like Croaking Fane would be a pretty down and dirty, like, I mean, I don't say there's no surprises or, you know, chicanery or stuff like that, but it's a nice, good, down and dirty kind of traditional dungeon crawl, I would say, versus... I'm running a Bride of the Black Manta, and that's got a pretty intense story that you got to find your way around and try to figure out how to introduce it within 4 hours.
Right. It's got a pretty intense story and structure.
and structure. So it's got a story, it's got a structure. And honestly, I've run it twice now, and second time was way better than the first, but I'm still not 100% sure that I got it really where I want it for that. I mean, it's so it really depends on the adventure. And if you, I, you know, and oftentimes, of course, you just have a blast doing stuff off the cuff, and nothing at all wrong with that. But if you're going to set out to do an adventure, you got to kind of really gauge how deeply you have to know it. And you know, some, you know, if something's pretty straightforward, you can probably, you know, they can take a left, you go to the next room, you read them the box text, and you know, away you go. But other things, there's a lot more interaction and interdependencies, obviously. For a learning curve for a player to slide over to the table and become a judge, I would say it depends on your experience in gaming. I mean, if you've done a lot of GMing in other games, yeah, and you've played DCC a couple times, you're not going to have any problem, I wouldn't think. Or you're like me and you just have a bunch of rules wrong for the first year that you played. Which, you know.
I thought we weren't supposed to admit that.
My players were when they learned that they were rolling like D20s on the fumble chart, even when they were like zero level guys with no armor and stuff, they were
okay.
As if sailors needed to be deadlier, right?
Oh man.
Exactly. That's
so hilarious. So you know, I think it just depends on your experience. I think experienced judges would not have much problem. If you're a newer gamer and you're taking up DCC as a judge for the first time, you know, watch a good judge. Watch a few good judges if you have that luxury.
Oh yeah.
But you know what? I mean, just go and do it. I mean, you know, you just learn by doing it. It's not like, you know, who's going to, it's not like Judge Job is going to show up and criticize your skills, right? He's dead. So he died. He's gone.
It's true.
Oh, God. Well, we appreciate the email, Christopher. And I got to say, it's kind of humbling to be on your short list of podcasts, even though you don't play the game, but hopefully you will soon. And we hope to hear from you when you do, and I hope that losing Judge Job isn't a make or break deal for you. Don't stop listening. But thanks so much for the email. All right, I think there's one more in there that's kind of topical. Jeff?
Yeah, we've got one here from Sergeant Dave, and the subject line is Ray NTRPGCon. Says, you guys have been to these things before. Is there a primer out there for those of us who are thinking about attending our first con? Any tips for zero-level con attendees? Thanks, Dave.
That's a good question.
Mm. Yeah, I think we have the perfect person here to answer about North Texas.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Oh, so what's the guy's name? Sergeant Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dave.
He's my homeboy. He's right here in Austin.
Nice.
Really? And he has never been there yet?
He has not. Yeah, I was just talking to him just a few days ago. So I think for North Texas, you don't have to do a lot of prep. I mean, as long as you're online on April 15th at midnight and you get the games you want to get, I would say first time to North Texas or GaryCon, you want to schedule as many games as you can with the old masters, just to get that out of the way.
Good advice.
And then, you know, you gotta, if you're going to play DCC, you got to schedule games. Well, Jen's not going to be there this year, but...
Sorry.
Jen, Mike, I don't think Mike's going to be here this year either, is he?
I don't know. I think he's up in the air. I'm not sure.
It's going to be sad. Well, I can tell you what I did. I scheduled a game with Mike Curtis, with Harley Stroh. And then, of course, you have to get an off-book game with Doug Kovacs. And that's pretty much the con is over.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a ton of open gaming. You got to look for Doug, right? So the first tip is look for Doug. Yeah. You can't really miss him. But if for some reason you didn't know what he looks like, you would just ask people, hey, where's Doug? and then, you know, so anyway, you sooner or later you would find Doug. There's also a G+ like Contalk, DCC Contalk group, right?
Oh yeah.
So you can, yeah, you can get on there, and people occasionally would do hangouts and stuff, and we used to do that at Gen Con and stuff. So the crowd is just great. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just be friendly, and you know, it can be a little intimidating if when you haven't met people before, but everybody's really pretty easy to, well, I don't want to say they're easy. They're not arrogant jerks. They're not always easy to deal with, but they're not like jerks. So, you know, be friendly.
Yeah, that and, wolf family, man.
Oh, jeez. No, I think, you know, just meet people, introduce yourself, say you're a fan, and most importantly, say, hey, where's the game? Where's Doug? Where's the game? Where, you know, where are people gaming tonight? And, you know, you'll get pulled into some stuff.
Yeah, that's true. Last year, there were a couple of guys from Alabama that we ended up meeting because we were wearing the same shirt, just in different colors, and there was a lot of gesticulating across the room. Hey, hey, I see you like what I like, and we kind of met in the middle, and oh, hey, okay, so hi, I'm so-and-so, and oh, hi, I'm so-and-so, and, you know, so, yeah, it was... we ended up spending like the entire weekend with Craig and Frank, so turned out to be great. So
yeah, and just this last Gen Con, which is a very different vibe than North Texas, I'm sure, because this will be my first North Texas. But Gen Con was my first convention just this past August.
Oh, geez. And
I know.
Yeah, and, very different.
very, very different. But I will say, to add on to the approachable conversation, everybody is super approachable. And I know that, for example, I had been a longtime listener of Spellburn, loved this show. And when I went to Gen Con, I saw Judge Jen. And I was like, oh my God, there's Judge Jen from Spellburn. I totally did. And I went right up to her and I was chatting with her, and she was very lovely. She still is very lovely, and now I'm on the show. just personally very excited.
Oh, God, Jim's right. That is how you do it.
It is. Like, I just joined the Google Plus community, and I was just chatting with people, and the next thing I know, I was invited to help assemble the Gong Farmer's Almanac at Gen Con, and so I'm trying to find the place, and then Jen's in the lobby of the building I'm trying to get into, and she and I just started chatting.
It was a pretty serendipitous thing. But
that is, so actually, yeah. Jeff, though, you bring up an excellent point, which is volunteer for stuff, and you will be drafted very quickly, or maybe press ganged, we should say, into...
That's you know. Accurate, yeah.
Yeah, you can always... They're always looking for people to assemble the Gong Farmer's Almanac, or set up a booth, or help Doug carry his art to and from, or, you know, I mean, just be useful and you'll meet people.
Yeah, it's true.
And I would add that North Texas is probably the best one to go to the first time, because it's small, it's laid back, and all the people are usually there. So.
And it's not going to be overwhelming. Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay, well... Since we've got Paul with us, why don't we take this over to Mighty Deeds and get to the topic at hand? So, Paul, I think this is where we start barraging you with all of the normal interview questions. How'd you get your start in gaming? When did you start playing DCC? When did you start writing? You know, so spill, dude.
So, was it in that order? Okay. So,
fake gaming it.
Was 83. 83 with the red box. I guess it's kind of a pink box. I'm looking at it now. Anyway,
it's faded.
So yeah, since 83. So I think I was 12 or so. I pretty much gamed since that day. I actually played Top Secret on a cot next to my tank in the desert during Desert Storm. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
As far as DCC goes, we picked up. We ran into the beta by accident. I was doing some Castles and Crusades stuff, and immediately it just clicked with me and my home group. So That's when we started playing. I'm not sure when that came out.
You ran into the beta?
It's hard to tell what the year is.
Would that be at Texas? That you ran into the beta?
No. I mean, we ran into it online, just downloaded it.
And
running it, yeah.
Interesting.
As far as writing goes, I mean, I've written... DCC was the first thing I wrote professionally. My first DCC adventure. And that was the Sepulchre of the Mountain God, or Sepulchre of the whatever it was. I can't even remember now. And I wrote that for Purple Dog. So,
AL2.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And after that, it was just, you know, that's basically all I do is I sit down and write when I'm not working or trying to be around for my family, you know.
And
so, yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. So how did you get involved with Dam?
I wrote an adventure for the first issue I can't remember the guy's name. Godric, maybe? Godric McCallum, is that right? No, Garrett Oliver. So Garrett Oliver started the first Dam magazine. He's the one that put it together. And then Dak was the kind of the guy that laid it out and published it. So I wrote an adventure for that. Everybody was super excited about it. As far as I know, everybody that wrote for it was super excited about it. I don't know how excited everybody else. It never really went anywhere after that.
Well, we thought it was cool, but we were kind of sad that it didn't make, you know, print on demand status or anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Never made it that far. I mean, I wasn't really that involved in the production of it. Just I wrote that one adventure and then I moved on to the next thing. But I think all of us were me, David, Fisher, and Daniel have worked together on a bunch of different projects, and every year or so, one of us would be like, "Hey, what's going on with Dam Magazine?" Because Garrett Oliver is a friend of Daniel's, so eventually Daniel wanted to do it, but then he didn't want to do all the work to publish it. He just wants to write. He doesn't care about all the rest of it. And eventually, he came back to me and said, "Hey, do you want this? You want to be the publisher?" And I was like, "Yeah, hell yeah, let's do it."
Okay.
So we took the first issue, the content from the first issue, and then expanded it and changed the focus a little bit. Well, focused it more on, you know, the community, right? So third-party publishers, the, you know, what people are doing in their own DCC communities and things like that. So that was kind of the first issue, just to get that back out and get a print version of it. So. I don't remember how big the first one was, but this one is 80 pages, so I think it's quite a bit bigger.
Ooh, wow.
But yeah, that's how I got involved with that.
And it's a good-looking magazine. It's really... I remember even seeing it for the first time. It's really... The cover is beautiful. It's really... it's nicely presented and nicely produced.
Yeah, David's cover is awesome. I love his cover.
Yeah, I can't wait to get a print copy of it now.
I will have a stack of them for Gary Carr. So.
Oh, will you?
One of them will have your name on.
Very cool. Yes, I will throw you monies. So, what is your...
So, I've got it.
Oh, go ahead.
Don't. Me first. So you got so many adventures, Paul. I'm curious to hear about the ones that have inspired you. Could be DCC adventures, could be old AD&D or Call of Cthulhu or anything. I mean, what kind of stuff what's your favorite one of stuff?
What, are you talking about what I've written or just in general?
Actually, what you've read and also what you've written.
So my favorite one so far was The Godseed Awakens, because I had super big plans for it. But I never really did anything after the first one. So, and the reason I liked it is because the idea is totally stolen from The Stone God Awakens by Philip Jose Farmer. Is that right?
Yeah.
The concept is totally stolen from him. There was a giant tree that controlled this whole world. And so what I did was I kind of took a seed from that tree and then made my own thing, right? And I really liked the idea of this thing that's not normally the bad guy, right? It's a tree. And just kind of how that thing would go about conquering an entire universe and then moving on to the next universe, you know? So anyway, that's the one I liked the most.
Yeah.
That's great. And also that ties into the Appendix N, and I'm curious, were you exploring the Appendix N prior to coming to DCC, or was it once you started getting into DCC and there's all this Appendix N talk that you then started retroactively going back and exploring
it? Ooh, chicken and egg.
I would say that I've always been, you know, in the Appendix N, but at the sort of at the shallow end, right? So
yeah.
Lankmar, Conan, the same stuff that everybody else likes, right? When they're 16 to whatever. But, you know, DCC definitely made me dig back into the Appendix N and, you know, just find gems everywhere, just all over the place, you know?
So, Paul, do you publish with Mystic Bull Games, or are you Mystic Bull Games?
So Mystic Bull Games is me and three other partners.
Okay. And how did that come about?
So two of the people that are Mystic Bull Games I've been playing with since I was 12. So best friends, we've known each other our whole lives. And then the fourth guy is a guy that I met when I worked at Dell. He's a good friend of mine. And we were all nerd gamers, and, you know, DCC, I don't know what it was. I talked about this in my editorial on Damn, but it's like, I don't know what it was about that game. I've been trying to kind of put things together for D20 stuff, and then maybe for Castles and Crusades, and I couldn't ever get it together. And DCC just clicked, and all of us were just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's publish for it. So that's what we did.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very cool.
Okay, well, there's some more stuff I want to talk about, but I want to move it over to Mercurial Magic first, so we can take a look at this from more of a judge's point of view.
Great all-seeing eye of Agamotto! You must come to my aid!
Doesn't weird stuff happen when spells are messed up?
I don't feel anything.
So that could have gone better.
Mercurial Magic.
So, Paul, you have created a lot of stuff. I really want to talk about the free resources that you've created for the community. I mean, I'm all about pimping out Mystic Bull Games and everything, but there's a lot of stuff that I don't know if people realize is out there that is super useful for judges, especially.
Yep. Yeah, so I guess I'll lead it in with, if I didn't publish a thing for money, I probably would just put it up on a website and walk away from it and let people, you know, can I afford the art for this or can I not afford the art for this? And if I can't afford the art for it, I'd just throw it up there and whoever wants it can have it. So specifically on our website, I mean, I should talk about all the free resources. There's a ton of free stuff out there. Starting with the Gong Farmer's Almanac, which is an unbelievable community.
Oh, yeah.
That I cannot believe.
Well, and you're one of the editors for that, right?
Produced. What's that?
And you're one of the editors for that?
Yeah, I do some editing, and I've done some writing for it, but I mean, I'm definitely not the hero of that thing. That's like, you know, John Hirschberger and those guys that put it all together and make sure that it gets to people. That is an amazing free resource. So if nobody knows anything about that, go get it. But, I mean, on our side, there's an adventure that Daniel wrote called The Tribe of Og and the Gift of Sus. So this one has a very sordid history. Hopefully the Dark Master won't slap me for saying it. when we originally conceived in the Prison of the Squid Sorcerer, this adventure was going to be an add-on adventure. Started in the Prison of the Squid Sorcerer as a Kickstarter. Not a Kickstarter, the other one. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, it failed horribly. We didn't fund. But one of the stretch goals was this caveman adventure, right? Well, clearly we couldn't do a caveman adventure because Mike Curtis was doing a caveman adventure, and that's the whole point of the third-party licenses. Like, you ask the Dark Master if you can do a thing, and he says, no, we're going to do that thing, so do something different. Well, we didn't ask. So Daniel wrote it. I got in trouble, and we couldn't publish it. So we decided, you know what? Let's just take the thing. Let's put it up there for free. And the cool thing about it is it's a perfect lead-in to Mike Curtis's adventure. And that's the way I ran it, was as a zero-level adventure that led directly into Mike Curtis's caveman adventure. So that one's up there for free. And then there's a couple other ones up there.
And we're referring to Frozen in Time, I take it?
Right, Frozen in Time. Yep.
Okay. Well, just putting it out there, you know, for the people, like one of our listeners who wrote in, who doesn't actually play the game.
Yeah.
It's always good to be thorough.
The cool thing about the community is that there's a ton of free stuff out there that people just put it out there because they've written it, you know, and they want people to use it.
Paul, you put out Tablesmith generators.
Oh, yeah.
Which pull up in, like, this alien format. I'm like,
yeah, so that's an application. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's a way to generate, it'll automatically generate random tables.
It's definitely something for everybody. I can't tell you how often I have used the virtual funnel, and that one appears in, what, the 2015 Gong Farmer's Almanac?
Right.
It's probably the
most favorite thing that I've written.
It's brilliant. If you have care-gen or pre-gens that you need to take to a convention or something, and they're supposed to be fourth level, but I don't want to just roll up a fourth level character because that then has no... It's so impersonal. And this kind of creates the backstory for it, and it's really entertaining to go through just on the care-gen side. Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Can you die in your...
Yes.
Like in Traveler?
So the zero-level piece of it, you take your first zero-level character through it, and then that one's probably going to die. And then all of its stuff moves to the second level character, or the second zero level character, I should say. That one goes through the funnel, and then if that person dies, then the stuff kind of moves. But none of the other benefits or penalties move. But I should say the XP applies to all four of them as you go through. So you'll at least get one out of it.
Usually,
yeah.
I did run through a couple sheets that were just complete losses.
That's a good file.
Exactly. But yeah, you've got some pretty wild classes out there, and two adventures that I think are just on your website, was it? The Ifrit's Chosen and the Steading of the Nurgalites?
Yeah, Ifrit's Chosen, I think, is just a little, like, sort of a small adventure encounter thing. Steading of the Nurgalites was just something I did for my home game, and I don't know, for some reason I tend to write stuff for my home game that's kind of almost a manuscript, not quite, but pretty close, so if it's something I like, I'll just throw it up there. And the Bog God's Champion is another one on there. And that one was actually... I ran the new Lord of the Rings...
game. I can't remember what it's called. Bog God's Champion?
The One Ring.
Yeah.
I ran that system for my home game. And just whatever emerged from that, I just converted it to DCC and threw it up there.
That's still very cool for anyone who might need something like that.
Hopefully.
So what's the...
suck if it didn't.
What's the patron generation? Is there?
Okay. So this is my story. And I'm sticking to it. I'm a really really lazy person. Like, so what I did was I took all of the patrons that were published at the time, and I broke them down into data so that I could understand kind of how the Goodman Games guys did it, right? Kind of, you know, how things progressed, if they progressed in a certain way or if it was kind of random or whatever. So I took all of that data and then I made kind of a little guide for myself to write patrons, because that first Angels, Demons, and Beings Between that Daniel and I wrote, I wanted to have something that would give me a little bit of randomness and kind of an idea generator. And so that's what I did. I built that. And then once I built it, I was just like, hopefully somebody can use this. So I threw it out there.
Cool. Cool. So what you're saying, Paul, is you're so lazy that you took, you know, 50 patrons and converted them into a small kind of low-tech IT project. And I kind of wish I was that lazy.
I guess it's kind of a lazy thing where I don't want to, like, just... Maybe it's not lazy. Maybe that's not the word I'm looking for. When I open the page and I'm like, okay, I got to write a patron. A patron is supposed to be something that's kind of integral to your world, right? So how am I going to make a thing that's not integral to some world or some idea or some, you know what I mean? So I had to take it and kind of break it down to understand, first of all, how they built the patrons, and then second of all, you know, a way to give it more life than just the stats on the page, right? So I don't know. I found it really difficult to sit down and say, okay, this is a patron that's going to go in a book. I don't have any backstory. I don't have any campaign material for it. So how do I make one that has a little bit of girth, right? So
that's what. Yeah. It's daunting when you're...
The lazy side of it was the was kind of the mini patrons. So you didn't have to write, you know, 50 Spellburn results. And, you know, it's kind of a low-powered patron that kind of grows with your character. So that's kind of the lazy side of it.
And did you do this before helping write Angels, Demons, and Beings Between, or this is something you did afterwards?
It was for that, actually.
It was for that. Are there any patrons that you wrote for that book that you're especially proud of and or that you use regularly in your own campaigns?
I don't use any, let me think. I've used all of them in my campaigns, but the one that that's not in the book, I did Nergal, which is, you know, it's like a Babylonian god, but Nergal shows up everywhere in my games. I think that one may be on my website somewhere. I can't remember. But I did a bunch of patrons for that book that didn't make it into the book. And I think I posted most of those on my website as well.
That's awesome.
Well, for anyone who's looking for, say, the free resources, there is a Google Doc spreadsheet that's associated with the G+ community, and it's open for anyone to add stuff to. I gotta say, Paul, I didn't find those on it. I thought I pulled all the resources there, so...
I don't know if that thing is updated very often.
Yeah, but it's open for everyone to update, so I invite everyone to go and check it out, pull resources that they might use, and add anything that's missing so the rest of us can find it and refer to it. And, you know, it's part of the lovely thing that is this community, right?
Yeah, and we should actually put it on Steve Mersch's site as well. Steven.
Yeah, he took the same information, I think, and just made it searchable in different ways. It's like the same data, just resorted. So you might find that easier to go through. but I think he was pulling from the same material that's on that spreadsheet. So we'll be sure and post a link to that from the show page, too. Yeah. I mean, we may as well. It's out there. Let's use it. So with that, I think it's time we roll this over to Patron Bond.
Who are you?
Your new lord and master.
What orders from Mordor, my lord?
Oh, don't grovel. One thing I can't stand, it's people groveling.
Patron Bond.
And this is the segment where we generally evaluate our guest and the product at hand. But I think we're going to do things a little bit differently because Job's not here to yell at us for it. Trullian had some excellent points on that. So, Paul, going back to Dam, what does your new release schedule look like? What do we have a set cycle for releases?
The idea is that it's quarterly. It's going to be about the same size, so around 80 pages. What I want is two long-form adventures, so 10,000 words, around 10,000 words, a handful of smaller, shorter articles or short adventures, and then a lot of just news and spotlights of, you know, third-party products and third-party activities and community activities, too, not just stuff that you have to go buy, but you know, what's going on around the community. So there's a ton of gaming groups all over the country. I want to highlight at least one of them every issue.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, just to see what people are doing. The other idea we had, and I don't know how we can do this without really doing a website, is you know, there are these groups all over the country or the world even. And so let's say I'm traveling for work and I'm stuck in some city for 3 days or whatever. Hey, you know, I want to be able to look up, hey, is there a DCC gaming group in the city? Yeah, there is. I can play. So, anyway, that probably won't be in the actual magazine, but that's one of the ideas.
That's really awesome. I know that a couple of years back we tried to get something like that going through the G+ community, another one of those Google Docs. Yeah. And that way, yeah, same idea, but yeah, if we could get something printed, you know, hey, we're this group and we're open to traveling players. Come on in.
Okay. That's absolutely.
At least one per issue, just to, you know, at least it'll be there, right?
That would be fantastic. So, are you taking submissions for these monstrosities?
definitely. Julian's already submitted stuff. He's in the first issue.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I noticed.
And actually, your husband's in the second issue. So.
Yeah, but whatever. He knows I love him.
In fact, I have all the details on how to contribute. So, basically, you know, we're soliciting for the shorter pieces. I'm actually grabbing people for the longer pieces.
Okay.
So, yeah, if you want to do something that's, you know, generally less than 3,000 words, just send in a concept, an expected word count, and we'll evaluate it for the next issue. As far as art goes, David Fisher is doing most of the art. We have some art.
Wow. Probably. Wow, so not only are you taking submissions, but this is a paying gig.
It is indeed. And not only that, but you get a free physical copy of the issue. So.
Wow. Yeah, you guys kind of rock.
Sweet deal.
So how are the benefits? That's what I want to...
Health plan sucks, I'm sure.
I mean, with the changes to the health plans now, I don't really have to provide that, so I'm good.
And for the rest of us, Paul, how do we subscribe?
See, I don't have a way to do that yet. You wouldn't ask me that question.
We're working on it. That would be the official answer.
Yeah, we're working on it. So I'm trying to figure out how to do a subscription the most efficient way, I guess is the main thing. I was thinking about Patreon, but I don't think that's the way to do it. So I'm kind of in research right now. Well, that's the second part. The first part is I wanted to be able to produce more than one issue before I asked for anybody's money for any sort of subscription, right? So we want to prove that we can actually publish more than one issue before we even do that. So, and really prove it to myself.
Well, that's admirable.
So, yeah. So for now, it's just going to be, you know, come out. It'll be on OBS. It'll be on OBS, RPG Now, or Drive-Thru RPG. It's a third-party marketplace, so you can pick it up. It's not like it's going to be, you know, a certain print run or whatever. So.
Okay.
So,
yeah. All right, sounds good. Well, Paul, thank you so much for being here with us. Julian, Jeff, you guys got any other questions for him?
No, I think we've covered everything. Thank you very much, Paul.
Absolutely. And although we're not doing the critical hit, critical miss thing, I just want to say just the fact that my meetup group is referenced and looking through here, seeing that there's Julian's Nowhere City Nights and there's Sanctum Sacorum right there, that just makes me really happy to see things that I'm working on and things that other people are working on in the magazine. It just, yeah, it's a great thing that you're doing for the community, so I really appreciate it.
There's a Spellburn ad, too.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one.
I did.
I should say, if anybody in the community that's working on something, if you send me, you know, working on something, or you have a group, or you have anything going on with DCC, if you send it to dam-mag@mysticbull.com, I will figure out a way to get it in the next issue. So
DAMN dash
little feature, yeah.
Okay.
And I can send it to you to put on the website.
Okay.
Great.
I have a little feature that where I just went through everything that's on RPG Now, that's DCC, and kind of all the new stuff. Just gave a kind of a summary of all the new products out there. I've got.
Awesome.
Community news. I've got, you know, a couple of features. One feature on Reed's Kickstarter for crawling under.
Mm.
One feature on Thorne Thompson's Sky of Crimson Flame, and a feature on Terra Frank's Dungeon Lord. So it's, you know, trying to pack as much community news in there as I can. So
that's very, very cool. And for anyone looking for it on RPG Now, if you're looking for DAM, no, it's D period, A period, M period, N period.
And yeah. Remember, kids, clear your browser so your mom doesn't catch you using those bad words.
It's an acronym. We can get around it. Well, this is... been super informative and really helpful for the community. So, yeah, we definitely appreciate having you here. For our listeners, remember, contact us with any feedback, questions, ideas, dungeon denizens. We really appreciate art that comes with that at theband@spellburn.com. We'll see you all at GaryCon and North Texas and all that good stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
And just wanted to give a quick thanks out there to Judge Jarrett for doggedly editing our shows. He's he's awesome backstage as well. So
he will be back. He's just a little traumatized, but he will definitely be back.
Okay, we're getting some major weirdness from you, Julian.
Yeah. From another dimension. Whoa.
Wow.
Is the thing that killed Job back?
I know, right? No! No!
No, Julian!
All right, man, just mute and we'll take it out. So thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
You've been listening to Spellburn, copyright 2017. We'll see you here in a couple of days at GaryCon. Get your D30s ready, robots.